Let's go through every single package installed with a Linux install image. I'm going through the software included with Slackware, but these are all open source applications and libraries, so whether you're running Slackware like me, or Fedora, Debian, BSD, or even Mac or Windows, you can probably download, install, and try these on your computer. So chances are, you'll be able to learn something from this podcast. Let's get started. In this episode, I'm continuing the exploration of XFCE desktop environment. It's turning out to be even more interesting than I thought, honestly. The deeper I have delved into how the desktop works, the more admiration I am acquiring for this particular implementation. And I'll get to exactly why in later episodes, I think, more after we've seen even more of the components. But one of the premier components of XFCE is the Thunar file manager. And there's one thing that's very famous about Thunar, or I say famous, I feel like it's famous. I feel like it's often referenced as kind of the feature that Thunar offers to the world, but I won't get to that immediately. First, Thunar. It is the file manager of XFCE. And a file manager, of course, is an application that shows you your files. Right? That's all that is, whether you call it a Finder window or a Windows Explorer window or just a file manager or Dolphin or Nautilus or Files or Thunar. They're just applications. And because a lot of people get started with like GNOME, well, or you know, Windows or Mac, where typically the only option you have to look at files is exactly the option that you're provided by that vendor or that project, I think a lot of us often feel like the file manager is kind of like baked into sort of the monitor, you know, your screen. Like that's the file manager you got with the whole package. You can have lots of other file managers. You don't have to just use one. You don't have to use the one that desktop says you have to use. So you can use Thunar with your Plasma desktop, or you could use Thunar on Fluxbox or whatever. So that's kind of empowering right there. Actually, honestly, when I discovered how many file managers there were for Linux, when I switched over to Linux, that was honestly one of the main appeals, not because I needed more file managers. Like, there are very few file managers that I use and I think, oh my gosh, it just doesn't work the way I think it should work. I mean, they all kind of do the same thing. It's just the knowledge, like at that point in my computer evolution, the knowledge that, oh my gosh, this isn't set in stone. Like I can use other file managers. That was revelatory enough for me that it really did kind of shift the way I thought about an operating system and a desktop and so on. So Thunar is kind of known as a lightweight file manager. It doesn't necessarily tap into a whole bunch of sub-processes. Like it is just kind of an application. Like I say, you can use it on lots of different desktops. It's just a thing that you could, it's a thing in your toolkit that you can use when you need it. I would say the visual design, the overall design of Thunar is much like the rest of XFCE, quote, normal, unquote, by which I mean it's exactly what you'd expect. Like if someone says, hey, I have a file manager for you, and they hand you Thunar, you are going to think, yes, that is a file manager. There's a side panel on the left containing common places that you frequently use, and then there's a big pane on the right that shows you the files and folders in whatever selection you have on the left. The side panel also has a designated area for removable devices like USB drives, SD cards, optical media, things like that. Also a place for network locations in the event that you're going to interact with a remote computer or a file share. Most options in Thunar are provided through the main menu. That includes the option to change the side pane to a tree view. So if you don't like the sort of just like here's a bunch of folders stacked on top of each other, you can convert it to a tree view so that you can kind of see the hierarchy. You can have collapsible and expandable list. So if you're not using documents, then you can collapse that and you just see documents. You don't see all the things inside of documents. Pretty handy. A lot of Thunar's true power is accessible through its menu bar. You can right click on things for a contextual menu, but really the I mean, that is contextual. So if you want to get an overview of what Thunar is capable of, and frankly, some of the most powerful functions are in the main menu, you want to take a tour of the main menu first. You can invert a selection, for instance. That's a cool one. So if you want to select, and we all do this, I think, you select everything in a folder, but you need to deselect one thing because that's the thing that you're going to move everything else into, or whatever the scenario might be. So you can invert selection in the edit menu and choose invert selection. So you select the thing that you don't want selected, edit, invert selection, and now everything else but that is selected. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You can also select by pattern. That's really cool. So you could just type in JPG and you'll select all the files ending in JPG. So that's really cool. Show hidden folders and files. So if you want to look at your .dot files, it's right there in the main menu. Open terminal here. This is a beautiful one. It launches a terminal in the location you are in Thunar, which is a great, great feature. I love that feature. I think the more we can bind the terminal to quote-unquote physical actions people are taking on their computer, I think the less mysterious the terminal becomes. You can also make a link, like a sim link, to a selected file or a folder. And this kind of, the sim link thing kind of highlights to me, it made me think of just kind of how fast Thunar is. And it's not necessarily that, oh my gosh, it's just so, so fast because it was written with such optimized code. There are definite choices being made here. I mean, sure, you know, you don't have a bunch of frivolous animations and things like that happening, so that kind of speeds things up. But there's really just kind of a decision, again, as with all of XFCE, I think, there was a decision made that things are going to be straightforward and simple. It just defaults, Thunar does, to performing the action you have requested. I mean, there are file managers out there that we've probably all used that just seem to kind of insist that you have advanced knowledge of special shortcuts, or it insists on interrupting a process in the interest of verification or clarification, which granted sometimes is really important, but a lot of times Thunar only pauses when it absolutely needs feedback from you. A great example, and the thing that made me think of this, is the make link function in the edit menu. In some file managers, when you create a symlink, you're asked first, you know, like whether or not you really want to make that symlink. And then maybe what you like to name the symlink, and even where you want the symlink to be created. And all of that is important information because it does result in a targeted and precise action. But sometimes you just don't need that precision. Sometimes you just want results. Which is why Thunar just, when you say make a link, it just makes the link. There's no questions. Now, you might have to stop and like rename the link or move the link to another location or something like that later. But then again, you might not. Maybe all you wanted to do was really quickly make a link. So in other words, it doesn't front load decisions that you might be able to stave off for later. And that's a great thing about Thunar. But the great thing about Thunar, like the feature about Thunar, this is the feature, is its bulk rename tool. Like I see this referenced time and time again all over the place, and it truly is a great feature. Now, we all know, maybe I know, maybe you know, I'm not sure who knows this, but maybe you know that there are ways to rename files in bulk. And there are lots of different ways to do this. You can probably think, if you're familiar with like shell scripting, you can probably think of a couple of loops or a couple of commands, like a find command piped to just a find command, I guess. No, but you pipe it to parallel so you can do the weird name escaping. Or is that a bashism? I don't know. You can probably think of a bunch of different ways to do like a bulk rename. And you know what I'm talking about. Like your camera gives you a file called IMG underscore 2024 underscore 12 underscore or dash 25 dash. I've lost count of how many numbers I've got. But then there's a timestamp and then .jpg or whatever. And there's 1,000 of those, you know, and you think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to select these 503 photos and I'm going to name them Christmas 2024. _0001, or really just 000, right? And then up to 502. So it seems like it should be an easy thing. And again, technically it kind of is. You can think of a lot of loops and tricks to make that happen programmatically. But there's a really easy way to do it with Thunar too. And that is you select the 503 files that you want to rename, you right click, and you select rename. And now you have a bulk renaming interface. That is a beautiful thing because it knows what you want to do. Like whoever wrote this thing has done this thing before. It has got two columns. In the left column, there's the current name. In the right column, it's the name that you are formulating. And you can formulate it based on a bunch of things. There's a drop-down menu for what you want to add to the name, like numbering. What numbering format would you like? Where would you like to start your numbering? You want to start it at 1 or 0 or 504? Maybe this is the next batch. Who knows? And what kind of text do you want? What's the format? Do you want text and then the number, or do you want the number and then text, or whatever? And you get to see a preview of every choice that you're making right there in the right column. So there are no surprises. There's no chance of you accidentally naming. I mean, I guess there is a chance if you just ignore all warning, but I mean, there's a low, low, low chance of you naming something accidentally the exact same name and reducing 503 files into, oops, one file that just you kept writing over. So it's a very, very comforting and preview laden process, and it is a beautiful interface. It is a beautiful thing. This, honestly, I mean, if people knew about this function that they're getting for $0 in Thunar, we might have switched everyone over to Linux by now. I mean, really, like this, I can't tell you, and maybe I'm just a power user, I don't know. I cannot tell you how many times in my past, before I discovered Linux, before I discovered Thunar, where I had like an innumerable number of files that I just wanted to rename, and I could not figure it out. Like, I tried. Sometimes there'd be some kind of, you know, dodgy shareware type of thing that you could download for a free trial for just 7 days, and as long as you get all your renaming done within that time, then you're good, but you're also not sure what the heck you're downloading. No, this just comes with Thunar, just casually. I mean, they should just name Thunar the bulk renaming file manager, because, I mean, this is the feature of Thunar. It's amazing. It's worth its weight in gold or whatever. So yes, very cool. Next up is Thunar Volman. Volman for volume manager, not volume audio, but those removable drives. Remember in Thunar, I said on the left panel, there are those drives. There's that place for removable devices. Well, this is the component of Thunar that manages those removable drives and media. This is what makes a USB thumb drive or an optical disc pop up in that side panel. You can configure Thunar Volman with the Thunar-Volman-Settings application, which is also accessible from the XFCE system settings. And you can define some pretty important things there, like whether to automatically mount a removable drive when it's hot plugged, whether to auto run a program on a new drive or media, whether to auto run files on a new drive or media, all of which are thankfully disabled by default, at least on Slackware, hopefully everywhere. Those all sound like horrible ideas, but I guess maybe in some cases that's what people want. I don't know. All right, next up is Tumblr. Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-E-R. At the time of recording, there's a rather popular website, T-U-M-B-L-R, and this has no relationship to that. Tumblr is a dbus application for managing thumbnails of nearly any type. An application can basically throw a URI at this Tumblr component, Tumblr, and then Tumblr can determine, based on your system settings, whether it can or should send back a thumbnail. So to get a good idea of the variables involved, you can take a look at /etc/xdg/tumblr.rc. It knows from, you know, in this configuration file, you can tell Tumblr, for instance, to use the EXIF data of a JPEG file as long as it's under 209,715,200 bytes. That's like roughly 210 megabytes. You can configure it to download a movie poster thumbnail from an online database. provided that you have an API key. You can tell it to use libopenraw to get a thumbnail for a raw image. You can define the max file size that it should, you know, like I said, like it'll ignore something if it's too big of a file and it would be too much trouble to try to extract a thumbnail from it. You can define paths that never get thumbnails and so on. So all of that stuff is in tumblr.rc. It controls really just the thumbnails that you end up seeing when browsing file systems, both locally and remote. Next up is XFCE4-AppFinder. This is a really neat one. It's a search utility to help you discover applications on your system. And to be honest, it's basically just XFCE's version of the Plasma Desktop's application menu, but I'm super happy it exists for XFCE users because there's just no way around it. Application names are really hard. They're hard to come up with. You want it to be memorable, but you also want it to be descriptive. And then you want it to be maybe clever, but you also want it to be clear. And you want people to be able to find it when they do a search for it, like an online search. And then as a user, it's hard to know like sort of where to begin given all of those variables. Like say you're a new Linux user and you want to play music. I mean, what do you do? Like, how do you even begin? I mean, that's true for any system, right? You're a new Mac user and you want to play music. Like, literally, what application do you launch? I honestly don't even know. I haven't used a Mac in a sufficient amount of time, and I believe I heard that iTunes went away. So what do you launch? Who knows? I don't know. I mean, I don't care, but I mean, that's the problem, right? We all have it. We just don't know what an application is going to be called. Now, the GNOME desktop generally has been trying to present applications according to function rather than any sense of branding, which is a fascinating experiment. I don't hate it. To watch a movie file, you don't launch Totem, you launch videos. You don't launch Nautilus to look at your file system, you launch files. I mean, it works pretty well. It's not bad. There are disadvantages, I think. Maybe I actually do care what file manager I'm using. So I don't want to just launch files. I want to launch specifically Thunar today. But tomorrow, maybe I'll want to go and use Nautilus for something or whatever. So that's a bit weird. Maybe the right answer is to provide essentially a symlink to the user's favorite application based on the user's choice for default application. So in other words, files. That icon would be dynamically defined by the user's environment or something. But anyway, that's beside the point. Another answer is to just provide the user with a robust search function. So you want to play music, you launch XFCE4-AppFinder and type in the word music, and you get really sensible results. Audacious, XMMS, Step. Okay, Step is a physics simulator, so I don't know why that's listed there. As I said, application names are hard. Okay, next up is XFCE4 Clipman plugin. This is the clipboard manager for XFCE4. You use XFCE Clipman settings to launch the configuration window, and then you can see how you can set how many entries you want to see in your clipboard. And as with any clipboard manager, when you copy something, that thing gets added to the list of the recent things you've copied. And then you can select what you want to sort of load into your active clipboard, your primary clipboard, so that's what you get when you next press Control V. It's very handy. It's very useful. I could not live without it. Why GNOME doesn't ship with one with a clipboard manager by default is beyond me. Frankly, I think it's criminal. After discovering clipboard managers, that was another thing within Linux that just kind of changed everything for me. And I honestly, literally, I cannot imagine life without a clipboard manager. It just, I don't think I could go back to, I couldn't use a computer without a clipboard manager at this point. All right, next up is XFCE4-DevTools. These are build macros, like they're literal .m4 files for developers who compile XFCE4 from its Git repository. Macros, of course, we've used them in previous episodes when talking about the compile process, but macros are just convenience functions. So there's less setup you have to do as a developer when you're about to compile some code. There are some executables that ship in this package as well. There's xdt-autogen that runs some commands to verify your environment and patches some files from the default state that they get committed to Git to a state that's useful for actually building. It runs the configure, the ./configure command, or I mean, it's not ./, but you know, like when you type it, it is ./configure command. And then it prompts you, once it's done all of the things, it tells you, okay, now you can run make. Most of them are shell scripts, so you can kind of just read through them to see what they do. They are a little bit like, you know, kind of like a Slack build in a way. They do the repetitious tasks to a known code base so that you and the 100 other developers working on that code base don't have to make a bunch of modifications every time you need to compile, and you're each doing it, you know, at home every single time. You know, that's 100 people wasting 100 minutes of time. Well, not anymore, because these dev tools exist. I would say that it's time for coffee. I think that's a safe thing to assume. And we're back with a cup of coffee. I hope this cup of coffee that I'm having right now is one of those cups of coffee that just makes you sigh after you take your first sip, you know? It was just so good. It's sort of the perfect thing to start this next sort of subsection, which is just a bunch of XFCE4- packages. And this is in the lead up to just why XFCE is so great. Again, don't know if I'm going to get into that discussion this episode, but just take mental note. All right, XFCE4-notifyd, the notification daemon for XFCE. Applications use this to trigger a notification. They send a message through dbus. This gets the message and shows a notification. And of course, you as the user, you can configure how notifications behave using XFCE4-notifyd-config, which launches a graphical settings window, which of course you can also get to through the XFCE settings application. It has a bunch of nice features like putting the computer into do not disturb mode so that you don't see the notifications. You got theming options, you've got default position, which is super important. Whether it fades on and then fades out gently, or whether it just pops on, pops out. XFCE4 panel, that's the panel for XFCE. It usually contains an application menu, a little task bar that lists currently running applications, a pager for your virtual environments, a system tray with your clock and like a network manager and a volume manager. But this panel is a distinct application. So like Thunar and like apparently a lot of these XFCE components, you can literally run it anywhere. You hate the Plasma desktop panel? That's fine. But you don't want to leave the Plasma desktop? That's fine. Just get rid of the panel and run XFCE panel instead. You can do that. If you're using Fluxbox or Blackbox or Window Maker and you want it to feel more like a proper desktop, run XFCE4 panel. This is modularity, and it is kind of inordinately exciting. Like, the pleasure of running XFCE panel on an otherwise barren window manager can't be fully described. It you have to experience it, because it's just so cool, because it just instantly transforms that window manager into like a real desktop. And maybe that's not what you want, and that's fine. You don't have to have it. But if that's what you do want, but you're just looking for something a little bit more modular, or something that doesn't take quite as much system resource or whatever, then that's a great thing to be able to have the option to do. This package also provides some fun extra commands like xfce4-popup-application-menu, which like literally just causes the application menu of XFCE to pop open if you use it in a terminal. That's kind of fun, but I mean, that's because the application menu is basically an applet within the panel. It's like an add-on of the panel. It's got xfce4-popup-clipman, which opens the clipboard manager. Yeah, there's all kinds of little treats in here that kind of make you feel like a wizard, because you do something in a terminal and suddenly something on your screen happens. It's really, really kind of fun, actually. And I mean, think about it. Bind those commands to keyboard shortcuts or something, and suddenly you're redefining how the computer responds to you. It's oddly empowering, this stuff. Like, this is really feeling very Unix-y. Next up, XFCE4-panel-profiles. I love this one. This is so cool. As with most Linux desktops, you can configure what appears on your XFCE panel. We'll get into that later at some other point. There's another component for that. But it is, like all of them, it's very configurable. So the XFCE developers figured, I guess it would be nice to provide users a way to save configurations so that you can restore them or bring them over to another system or whatever. So you can launch XFCE4-panel-profiles and you get a list of all the built-in panel configs. The current one is whatever you're using right now, but others include Cupertino, which is a standard sort of application taskbar pager system tray bar along the top, and a kind of a dock style panel on the bottom, which has like the icons of your favorite applications and any active applications that are currently open. GNOME 2 mimics the GNOME 2 setup, more or less. I mean, honestly, there were more menus along the top in GNOME 2. I think there were 3, but those menus don't exist in XFCE, so they're missing from the GNOME 2 panel, or the GNOME 2-like panel. Redmond mimics some version of Microsoft Windows with just a panel along the bottom of the screen, and there's a menu labeled Start, so that'll get people who are just used to that paradigm started, I guess. And then Redmond 7 does, to my eyes, which, to be fair, are very unpracticed in this, I think it does a surprisingly good job of mimicking modern Windows. I mean, it's got the modern-looking application window. It's got the pinned applications next to it. It's got the clock and the, I think, network manager on the right. So yeah, it's quite nice. And there are lots of profiles. I mean, that's just a handful that I selected at because they seemed notable. But it's really easy to just cycle through them, find one that you like. It's one of the easier and most sort of gratifying and instant ways to just change your desktop, I think, that I've seen out of any of them. I mean, really, like, just reconfiguring the panel like that is a really, really powerful trick. And it's got to be so simple. Like, I can't believe I haven't seen this in any other desktop. I don't understand. Like, it's just such an obvious trick, but I've not seen it anywhere else. So I love it. It's great. And of course, you can save your own panel too. You can make your own profiles. Those are just the presets. Next up is XFCE4-Power-Manager. This is an applet for your panel to manage and monitor how your computer uses electrical power, whether you're on battery or mains. And you know the drill here. You can set your screen to go blank after a certain amount of time of inactivity. You can set your computer to go to sleep or not to go to sleep. You can set your computer to behave differently if it's on battery, and so on. Again, just kind of what you would expect. XFCE4-Pulse Audio-Plugin. This is the volume control for the XFCE panel. You click the speaker icon, you move the sliders, you make things louder or softer. For more control, you can click the entry that is just audio mixer. It's a button at the bottom of your little pop-up control panel, and that'll show you the volume control panel. That looks a lot to me like Pavu Control, but I could be wrong. Maybe this is a distinct re-implementation of it. I'm not really sure. It might actually be Pavu Control, but maybe it just looks a little bit different because of the theme that I have in XFCE as opposed to what I see elsewhere. I'm not sure, but if it's not literally Pavu Control, then it is a lot like Pavu Control. XFCE4-Screensaver. It's a screensaver. This was actually built for the Mate desktop and ported to XFCE. I gotta say, I love it. It's simple, it's clean. You can configure it with XFCE4-Screensaver-Preferences. It's really nice. I would definitely use it over X-Screensaver, which I can't help but feel is just a little chaotic. This one is really, really simple. Like, you've got two choices of silly animations, or just to go blank. And I don't know, it seems to work. Like I say, I don't actually use screensavers all that often these days, so who knows? I haven't stress tested it. Next up is XFCE 4 Screen Shooter. This is a screenshot application. It's fine. It does what it needs to do, but honestly, I am personally very, very used to KDE Spectacle, and I just kind of find it hard to use anything but Spectacle. I mean, this is a fine app. I'm not saying it's not good. You launch it, it asks you whether you want to capture the whole screen, just a single window, or a specific region that you can draw yourself. You can set a delay before capture. You can capture the mouse pointer or not. You can capture the window decoration or not. And then you take the shot, and then you save the file if you like it. There is a cool feature here that I quite like, that on the save, well, like when you're on the save screen, like when it's telling you, it's offering to let you save it. You can either save it locally, or you can open it in an image viewer without like really saving it. I mean, it exists on your computer, but I mean, you're not saving it as a file. Or you can host it on, I don't know how to say that website, but IMGUR, Imgur, whatever that site is. It's a photo or a picture sharing site. And that seems like a really cool and thoughtful feature. Like, I can imagine sending something up to Imgur or whatever, however you say that, when if I was troubleshooting something and I wanted to show someone like in a forum something, but the forum didn't have a very good way to upload photos or whatever, then yeah, I could see that being a really useful feature. I thought that was kind of cool. XFCE4-session. This one sets what applications get auto-started when you log into XFCE, and whether you auto-save your current session when you log out, whether you start GNOME or KDE services upon startup, little things like that. It's session management options, and they are nice. I don't think they're strictly required. I think I could actually live without that sort of thing, but they are nice to have. They can save a little bit of time. I mean, I do appreciate it on the Plasma desktop. When I turn on my computer in the morning, most of my work environment is basically set up and ready to go. I'm going to have to log into a VPN and stuff like that, but a lot of the applications that I was going to launch anyway, they're just sitting there on the desktop where they were when I shut down. It's really quite nice. XFCE4-settings. This is the settings manager of XFCE. So a lot of the XFCE4-dash packages that I covered, that I've been covering since the coffee break here, have been like individual setting panels for a specific component within XFCE desktop. So XFCE4-settings, well, that's the package's name. So literally XFCE4-settings-manager, that's the command. That's the place where all of those disparate setting configuration panels are sort of brought together. So you open XFCE4-settings-manager from the terminal, or you can just select settings manager from the application menu, and you get a list of all the setting panels available. That's just kind of referencing the ones that we've already covered. And a couple I think that we haven't covered yet, but you know what I mean. So there's a handy search bar at the top as well, so you can find something that's not, you know, readily apparent to you from maybe the name of the panel. And the configuration screens are sorted by category. So there's personal for desktop behavior and clipboard manager and text editor settings and things that you interact with, I guess, on a frequent basis. There's hardware, which covers attached devices like display, keyboard, mouse, audio, power. There's a system category, which has accessibility, default apps, session, and startup. That's obviously the XFCE-session one that I was just talking about. The other category has Bluetooth and settings editor, which itself is included in this package as XFCE4-settings-editor. The settings editor is a view into essentially a registry, which I don't love. But yeah, it's a little database that has some information about your current settings and the current state of specific applications. So for instance, if I click on Thunar, that's the entry over in the left. I can see over on the right that it contains a property called last-icon-view-zoom-level, which is a string. Weirdly, I would have thought that it was going to be an integer, like a zoom, you know, a percentage. But the value, it says, is thunar_zoom_level_100%. That's the weirdest way to do that. But I guess, I mean, I have to guess that that's like an environment variable that gets passed to Thunar when it launches or something. I would have totally thought that would have been an integer with just 100. That's so weird. But anyway, that's an example of a thing in this little registry or this XF conf thing. So other executables in this package include the accessibility settings panel, the display settings, the keyboard settings, and a few others. One of my favorite inclusions, though, is the excellent XFCE4-find-cursor. I love this. It causes your mouse cursor to emit like a visual signal. It looks like a little radar ping or something, so that you can find it on your screen if you have, I don't know, terrible eyesight like I do, and you lose track of where your stupid pointer is. The number of times I have to like wiggle the mouse and like go up to the top of the screen so you sort of bring the cursor into my view, like you cannot imagine. It happens all the time. It's literal tunnel vision, like not figurative, like it is tunnel vision. Now, unfortunately, while the settings panel does have a little button here to enable the feature, there's literally no indication of how to actually make it work other than issuing the command from the terminal. It just says, bind a keyboard shortcut to XFCE4-find cursor to get visual feedback of the mouse pointer's current location. It doesn't tell you what the key is. So I don't even know what I'm like. I'm putting a little tick in this box, but I don't know what I've just done. It's weird. I mean, I guess I could probably go and hunt down like how to bind a keyboard shortcut in XFCE to an arbitrary command. I'm sure it's probably not that hard. It is just weird that here in the accessibility panel, yes, there's a checkbox to do it. No, there's no information on what you've just done. And I truly don't know how to do it. So I can see the effect by issuing the command in a terminal, but the accessibility panel doesn't seem to affect whether that works or not. I mean, in my opinion, and this might sound maybe over the top, hopefully not controversial, but my opinion is that I think accessibility features, or at least a hefty amount of accessibility features, because I mean, obviously there's a lot of possible accessibility features, but I think that a bunch of them ought to be on by default. And I know you're thinking, wait, on by default, but I don't need them. Well, my logic is, I mean, I don't need half of them either. My logic is that you don't know what so-called accessibility feature you're going to end up loving if you've never seen what's possible. Like if I'd known that there were ping effects for mouse cursors earlier in my life, I would have had them on all the time. But I didn't find out about them until like a Fedora conference, and Mo Duffy was doing a demonstration and kept pinging the mouse cursor to bring our attention to that space on the screen. And I just thought, that's the coolest thing. How did you do it? And it's just an option that you can turn on in GNOME. It's just always been there. I mean, I don't know if it's always been there, but yeah, I was just like, oh, well, that's amazing. And I have that on all the time now because I do love it. It helps me and it helps an audience that I'm speaking to because, you know, failing like a laser pointer, you've got a little pingable pointer on your screen. It just makes so much sense. And anyway, if you need that feature, then I'm going to bet that it's probably harder for you to turn it on than it is for me, who decides, I don't need that, to turn it off, right? If it's an accessibility feature, it's probably helpful to someone and harder for them to both know that it exists and to navigate the system to find it to turn it on than it is for someone who sees the feature and says, oh, I don't like that. I'd better go to accessibility features and deactivate all of the accessibility features. That is my opinion. I will absolutely stand by that. It's just the first launch of a computer should have so many accessibility features that you have to spend a full 3 minutes turning them off. And that's all it would take. You know, most of us spend more time than that trying to choose a wallpaper. I think we can go deactivate some accessibility features that, as it turns out, we don't want it. And that's not unheard of. Like, there are operating systems out there that when you boot them up, if you don't respond within some amount of time, it starts talking to you. And how useful is that for someone who can't see the screen? Pretty useful, I would imagine. So yeah, it's important. So this is out of order a little bit, but it makes sense to talk about this one now, because I'm just talking about the registry. So xfconf, this is the package that contains the xfconf-query command, which queries the registry, the xfconf registry, or whatever they call it. I don't actually know what they call it, but it's the one that I was just talking about in XFCE4-settings editor. For example, xfconf-query:\thunar-property/last-icon-view-zoom-level. Hit return, and yes, sure enough, there it is. Thunar_zoom_level_100_%. It's very, very confusing and frankly, very, very annoying that properties must be, for whatever reason, and I don't know why, preceded by a forward slash. I don't know why. There's not really any indication of that in the GUI version of this registry, so I don't know why or how I would know to do that in xfconf. Now, luckily, xfconf query is a pretty kind command if you know to ask for it. To ask it for more information. Like the dash dash list option actually reveals to you like what entries you have to choose from. So if you don't know what channels there are available, then you can just type xfconf dash dash list and you get a full listing of the channel. And so then maybe now that you know the channels, you decide, well, I want to see some properties, but I don't know what properties there are. No worries, xfconf dash dash channel thunar dash dash list. And that shows you what properties exist in the channel, and that is where you see the forward slash, and that's the only way I knew to use forward slash in the end, because I kept trying to do properties thunar dash icon dash view or whatever, and it just kept telling me there was no such property, and I thought, I know there's a property like that. I saw it in the GUI registry, but yeah, you just have to put a forward slash in front of it. And you do find that out if you look at the dash dash list. This is definitely one of the easier query style commands I've used. Like I find this very, very useful. Introspection, I've said it before, keep saying it, it's a beautiful thing. XFCE4 dash system load dash plugin. This is an applet for your panel. So it monitors the CPU and the memory load on your computer, and it exists only to exist in the panel. And there are a couple of things that are like that, like the application menu. You can't just like have an application menu. It has to be sort of bound to a panel. Same thing for this system load plugin. It isn't like a widget that'll just appear on your desktop. It needs a panel to appear in. So in XFCE4, to customize a panel, you just right-click on it. And then in this case, you can select add new item to see a list of panel plugins. Those are going to include like the basics, like, you know, a launcher for an application, or the applications menu, Clipman, the clipboard manager, a clock, and appropriately, system load monitor, which is of course the system load dash plugin that we're looking at right now. XFCE4 dash weather dash plugin. This is out of order. This isn't alphabetical, but it does fit nicely here since we're talking about plugins. Yep, there's a weather plugin that appears in a panel if you add it to the panel, just like the system load monitor one. XFCE4 dash whisker menu dash plugin. Again, out of order, but it fits in here because we're talking about plugins. This is an application menu applet, or I guess plugin, for the XFCE panel. This is the superior application menu to, I guess what is the standard XFCE one, because it's kind of, I say standard, I mean, I don't know what XFCE considers standard, but it does appear to be the one that I see more often. I did not know the whisker menu version existed until I saw the Redmond 7 theme for the panel, and that's when I realized, oh, they're hiding a better menu somewhere, and here it is. So this is like one of those modern style menus that like lists the application categories on the left and then the applications available on the right, and more importantly, I think it's got a search bar right at the bottom. So it's got basically XFCE4-app finder just built in, and again, I don't know if that's literally the app finder. I don't know if like that's like just a call to that same code, or whether they just copy and pasted the code. I don't know, I didn't look at the code to find out, but it's that style of menu where you can either navigate by clicking around or you just type what you want. I love this kind of menu for the same reason that I love App Finder. I don't know what I would do without it, to be honest. I guess I would just use like, you know, Alt F2 and do the like the K runner or FB run or whatever. Or I would just like make my own application menu from like a folder of symlinks or something like that. But I don't have to do that in any desktop on Linux, much less XFCE, because this one has whisker menu and it's much better than the standard menu in my opinion. Okay, back to the alphabet. XFCE4 dash task manager. Task manager or task monitor? I thought the bar that showed up in the panel where your open applications show up, I thought that was called a task manager. Am I wrong? I don't know. As I've said many times before on this show, I learned computing on Macs, for better or for worse, while I was growing up, and then I switched to Linux. And honestly, I'm still learning like the non-Mac terminology, but I have to do it sort of catch as catch can. And I might be learning something now. I don't know. This is called a task manager, but it's not a space in the panel that shows you your running applications. It's like literally a graphic. Well, I don't know if it's literally. It is a graphical version of top. I have to assume it's like literally a graphical version of top, because I mean, it shows running processes, the PID of each, the CPU load, the memory usage, the nice value, and all that other stuff. And you can right click on any item in that list to get a contextual menu that lets you stop, terminate, kill, or adjust the priority of the process. So yeah, it's really nice. I mean, I could maybe imagine using that. Maybe, I don't know. I'd have to learn it. And that sounds like work. I'd probably just continue to use top or htop, but it is nice. I do like that. I like that quite a lot. XFCE4-terminal. This is the terminal emulator for XFCE. And you might wonder whether you really need yet another terminal emulator, but like text editors, I think it's safe to say that you just kind of can't have too many. And I know that seems like a bold statement, the second bold statement of the episode. And I'll admit, yeah, maybe not literally, but colloquially, I think we could say that rather safely. There's always like one little feature that justifies it. I wonder if there will be one for XFCE4 terminal. Spoiler alert. Yes, there is. But I'm not going to say it yet. First, we'll talk about XFCE4 terminal. It's, you know, like a window into the shell, right? I mean, that's what you want from a terminal. That's what it does. It gives you access to the shell. And it's got a graphical settings panel like console or GNOME terminal do, so you're not like editing plain text files, for better or for worse. I mean, the text configurations are cool. I like them. But then again, they've got that negative aspect of like, how do you even know what properties you're supposed to be editing? Like what, you know, you just have to make stuff up and hope they exist. Like it is a very blank slate. Whereas a GUI configuration, you know exactly what you have to choose from. So that's a positive. That's the positive aspect of that. And I mean, there are some really good configuration options here. I mean, like they get really precise. Like you can choose the default character break for a string. Like how you define a string when you double click on text. Is it just a single space or is it some other character? I mean, it really, really gets into the weeds here. You can choose your default character encoding, of course. You can disable alt shortcuts to the terminal's window so that your favorite bash shortcuts are passed through to the shell and they're not intercepted by like the terminal's menu, which is a great feature. Love that. You can set a font. You can choose new color themes or load a color theme from a list of common presets. It's got an optional toolbar across the top if you like buttons. All that kind of standard stuff for terminals. To a degree, you could look at this and not really know whether it was XFCE or GNOME. Like it would be easy to mistake the two for each other, I think. But I did say there was one feature about this that justifies its very existence. And that feature is, it's going to seem kind of simple maybe, but I mean, I don't know. You might appreciate it. I appreciate it. So you go to the edit menu, go to terminal preferences, and go to the colors tab along the top and enable these two settings. Use system theme colors for text and background and vary the background color for each tab. Now close and relaunch your terminal and open up some tabs. Every tab, like the background of a terminal, your terminal window, for every tab is a unique color. Yeah, so I mean, it's a simple trick, but can you imagine how much better that will be when you're SSH'd into 8 different computers and you're trying to remember which is which? And the one thing you don't want to do is sudo space power off to some mission critical server, right? So I usually modify my prompt. Like I'll have like some kind of ridiculous prompt to remind me, hey, you're not on your local host right now. You're on the remote system in this terminal window or in this terminal tab. The problem with that is that you do start to kind of filter out the prompt eventually. It's a weird phenomenon, or at least I do. Like, I can make the prompt whatever I want to make it, and somehow I'll filter it out. It's just, this is a terminal. I'll just type random stuff into it and see what happens. That's fine on your own computer, but it's not fine on your web server or whatever. So having a unique color in the background, I think, makes it sometimes a little easier to not filter it out. You know, like, it's just, I don't know. There's something about, like, oh, that background is red. I know that the one that I was using on my local computer was blue or whatever. The other way to do that, of course, is just to have a different terminal, like a physical, a different, like not physical, but a different terminal emulator for your home, and then have the other emulator for the remote boxes. That's another easy trick. But I do like this idea of different color backgrounds for each tab. I think that's a really cool idea, really nice little trick, and I think you should try it sometime if you haven't. If you've ever, you know, made a mistake on a foreign machine, yeah, give that a go. See if that helps. Very nice terminal, no notes. All right, let's get through the rest of XFCE. There are only two more packages to go, and then we'll be out. We'll be out of XFCE completely. This is very exciting. This is XF Desktop. This is the actual desktop. And by desktop, I mean really just the desktop. So we've seen all of the major components of XFCE 4 over the past couple of episodes. Like, they're individual applications and commands. And so when you say, well, what is the XFCE desktop? If it's not all that, then this is the only thing that's left. And all that's left is the root window, like the place where you put a wallpaper, like the part of your screen that you're looking at, like that big blank empty area, that's the desktop. And maybe some general management of, like, minimized application icons and file icons and odds and ends like that. There's probably some code sort of integration in here to tie components together a little bit, which I would imagine, because when I launch the XFCE panel in Fluxbox, for instance, I don't get, like, the pretty graybird theme by default. Although I guess maybe that's just like a dot, I don't know, GTK RC setting or something. I'm not really sure. I haven't looked into it. Didn't try changing or setting a theme or anything, but I'm just thinking that maybe there's some code on XF Desktop that kind of brings it all together, maybe. Either way, it definitely just manages that big empty space in the background. Like, what picture do you want to see today? XF Desktop will take care of that for you. Everything else, all those other components, like, that's like the desktop. You know, this is like the desktop. All the other components are the things that you have sitting on the desk, like a panel and plugins in the panel and application menus and Thunar and a settings, control panel settings. Those are all separate component. This is the desktop, the sort of settings, they can be controlled in the desktop dash settings panel. So that is, again, part of that XFCE4 settings dash manager. And I think it's kind of surprising how simple all of this is after a while. And this is kind of what I was alluding to earlier. Like, once you break out all the components and kind of look at them and put them next to each other, you realize that they're all sort of self-standing and fully usable elsewhere. Like, this is the kind of thing that really makes you understand just how Unix-y XFC actually is. And it has 100% helped me understand why XFCE fans are so sincere about their love for XFCE. I wouldn't call them, like, rabid or anything. It's just when I talk to people who really, really like XFCE, they just talk about it like it's an obvious thing. Like, obviously they like XFCE. Obviously that's the best desktop. And I've always seen XFCE as the also-ran desktop. Like, well, it's not KDE and it's, or Plasma Desktop. It's not GNOME. It's, you know, XFCE. It's like the bronze medalist or whatever. They don't like it because it, like, happens to have buttons in the place that they want them. It's not because it's, not just because it's pretty light on resources. It's because XFCE takes architecture really, really seriously, and they've designed their little work environment on that principle of modularity, of things actually being independent, self-standing applications that are then assembled in a very pleasing way to give you a desktop experience. And that's, like, it's one of those weird things where, well, look, if I'm just a user and I'm using a desktop, I don't care about those things. Like, as long as when I click this button here, I get my application menu, I'm happy. I don't care how it got there. I don't care if it's modular or not. But if you are a Linux user and you actually think, well, actually, I would like that service to be an independent service because I want to actually borrow it. I want to take it from over here and use it over there. Well, XFCE is your toolkit. Like that's your bits box. That is what you can draw from and assemble cool new stuff from. That's why people love it. Frankly, that's why I now love it. Am I switching to it full time? Probably not. I mean, honestly, it's just, I am where I am right now. I've got my Plasma desktop. I'm used to it. It's comfortable. I've got GNOME on my laptop, which kind of is important for work, for it to be GNOME for reasons. So I'm probably not switching to XFCE for full time right now today. Is it in my future? Almost definitely. Like this is really nice. XFWM4. I should have done this before XF Desktop and before I talked about how great it all was, because this is the last package. XFWM, that's the window manager, which simply means that it's the part that keeps track of application windows that are open on your screen. It sticks a window decoration around them, depending on what theme you've chosen, and that way you have something to grab onto and move the windows around, or minimize them, or destroy them. That's what XFWM4 does. And that is it. That's everything out of the XFCE directory. We are done with that. The next directory that we have to cover is Y, which I believe, if I'm looking at this listing correctly, I think that's the last one. Yeah, it is. Y. Now, it contains NetHack and BSD games, and there are a bunch of BSD games, and I have played all of them. I don't know how many there are, but there are a lot. So it might take more than one episode to get through all of those games, but either way, we're looking at one or two more episodes of this podcast, and then I'm ending it. I'm going away. I am leaving the building. Not because I'm not enjoying podcasting, as I've said before when I first announced that this was all coming to a close. I just think there are other tasks on computers that I probably ought to start dedicating more time to, specifically some programming tasks, and maybe contributing to open source projects in a meaningful sort of results in git commits kind of way. We'll see. We'll see where I go. But this podcast has run its course. I am so glad that you've been along for the ride, and I will talk to you next week.